بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونستحمده ونستحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم We are reading from the kitab Islahul Aqaid, Correction of Beliefs And today we read on the subject of Bid'ah, Innovation Bid'ah literally means innovation In terms of the Sharia, it is the introduction of a new deed in deen which cannot be substantiated from the Qur'an and Hadith and did not exist in the time of the Sahaba, the Tabi'een and during the period of their followers, that is the Tabi' Tabi'een. So for something to be now regarded to be Bid'ah, it means it can't be substantiated from the Qur'an and Hadith, nor did it exist in the time of the Sahaba, the Tabi'een and the Tabi' Tabi'een. To regard such an innovation as an integral part of deen, and thereby act upon it, or conversely, to regard an integral aspect of deen as being non-essential and thereby shun it, will also be treated as bid'ah. Similarly, to apply or to specify certain conditions to a permissible act of sharia, which has no basis in the sharia, will fall within the scope of bid'ah. Bid'ah is a major sin after kufr and shirk. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, to introduce a new thing in deen is bid'ah, and every bid'ah is misguidance, and every misguidance leads one to the fire. Bid'ah is of two types. Number one, in beliefs, and number two, in action. The first type, which is called bid'ah fil aqidah, can in certain cases take a person out of the fold of Islam, and in certain cases not. That is when people invent new beliefs or invent their own understanding of concepts of Islam which was not understood by the pious predecessors. The second type of bid'ah is called bid'ah fil amal, that is bid'ah in action. Will not cause a person to lose his iman, but will render him a sinner and deviated. Some examples of bid'ah acts and customs in vogue are as follows: decorating graves with a covering, a chadar, lighting of lamps at graves, cementing or casting concrete on the surface of the graves, erecting domes on the graves, to wear garlands at marriage ceremonies, stipulating the 3rd, 7th or 40th day, etc. for reciting the Quran Sharif for Isal-e-Sawab, participating in the customs of Milad, Urs, Yarwi Sharif, placing food at the graves, kissing the graves, adding words before or after Adhan, like Salat and Salam, to make dua after janazah salah, and to do a certain action or dhikr in a specific way and at a specific time with the intention that there will be more reward, or to give adhan at the grave after burying the deceased, or to perform nafal salah in a specific way on specific night. So these are all examples of bid'ah customs and acts which are in vogue. A person involved in bid'ah does not get the ability to repent. He will be deprived of the water of kawthar of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is not permissible to honor a bid'ati. This is because by doing so, it entails destroying the structure of deen. The next topic, superstition. It is the belief of Muslims that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the controller of the entire universe. The Quran states, no misfortune can happen on earth nor afflict your souls except that it had already been recorded in a book before we bring it into existence. That is truly easy for Allah. By the passing of time, man is influenced by different ideas which weakens his iman, one of which is superstitious beliefs. A Muslim should at all times have firm belief that Allah Ta'ala is controlling this universe and that He has complete power. No witchcraft, magic, sangomas, and evil spirits of the ancestors can give you death or cause harm to you. Everything happens only by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Last night in the Taraweeh, alhamdulillah, the 25th para was recited. The first ruku of the 25th para is a completion of Surah Hameem, As-Sajda, and then it is followed by the other surahs which all commence with Hameem. There are 7 surahs in the Quran Majid which commence with Hameem. Surah Sajda, which commenced at the end of the 24th para, before that Suratul Mu'min was the first of the surahs which commenced with Hameem, and they are popularly known, or in the hadith has been described as Ali Hameem, or they are called the Hameem As-Sab'ah. They are all mentioned together, and the sequence and order as mentioned in the placed in the Quran-i-Majid is also the order of the revelation. This is how they were also revealed, in this order. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu mentions concerning these 7 surahs that they are the beauty of the Quran-i-Majid. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu mentions that they contain the essence of deen, because all the fundamentals of deen, since all these surahs are Makki surahs, all the fundamentals and basic essentials of deen have been mentioned in these surahs. So Surah Hameem Sajda is called Hameem Sajda because this is that surah of Hameem where a sajda is also recited, and a sajda also has to be made, and it is also called Surah Fussilat, because of the second verse of the surah which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned describing the Quran Majid, that it is Fussilat. Therefore the surah also is called Hameem, the surah is also called Surah Fussilat. Anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences the surah after Hameem, the meaning of which is known only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala mentions that this Quran Majid is a revelation from that Allah who is most compassionate and most merciful. And then Allah Ta'ala describes the surah that this kitab is such that its verses have been clearly explained. Every thing of the Quran Majid, whether it is connected to the laws and injunctions, or whether the incidents of the nations of the past, or whether the warnings or glad tidings or examples which Allah Ta'ala gives at various places, everything has been clearly explained. Allah Ta'ala further mentions it is the Quran in the Arabic language, because the first recipients and addresses of the Quran Majid were the Arabs, and therefore Allah and the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam also was amongst them. Therefore the Quran Majid was revealed in the Arabic language. And Allah Ta'ala further describes this Quran Majid, it is the carrier and giver of glad tidings to the mu'mineen, and also a warner for those who disbelieve. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, despite all this, فَأَعْرَضَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ, that most of the people, they turn away in aversion from the message of the Quran and Majid, and they don't hear. In other words, they don't hear in a way where they are prepared to accept the message of Haqq. These mushrikeen, these disbelievers, Allah Ta'ala says, that they themselves say that our hearts, they are veils of our hearts from that which you're calling us towards. In other words, what you say doesn't make sense to us, doesn't penetrate these veils and doesn't go into our hearts. And they say that in our ears they are props. In other words, we don't hear your message as in a way to accept it. And they say that between us and you, O Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is a barrier. So, fa'amal, you do what you have to do. Innana amilun, we will also continue doing what we want to do. In other words, we are not interested in one bit in accepting the message what you are propagating to us in the Quran Majid, which you are now delivering to us. Further, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in response to one of their objections, that how is it that you're calling yourself a Nabi, a messenger of Allah Ta'ala, you are just like us, you are a human being like us. Allah Ta'ala tells Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, tells them, yes, I am a human being like you. In other words, all the wants and needs and necessities of men which apply to you also apply to me. But there is a difference. You ha ilayya. That a revelation is sent to me. In other words, I have been selected as a Nabi and Allah Ta'ala sends revelation to me. And the message is clear. Innama ilahukum ilahu wahid. That your Allah, that your ilah is one ilah. One ilah. Allah Ta'ala doesn't have any partners. Therefore, remain firm on this. And turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah ta'ala for forgiveness for whatever wrongs you might have did and accept the message of Haqq. But these people, they refuse to accept the message of Haqq. Allah ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further on that, are you going to remain on your disbelief despite you acknowledging that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone is the creator of all the great creations of this universe? You yourself acknowledge that Allah Ta'ala doesn't have any partner when it comes to the creation of all these great creations of Allah Ta'ala. Then despite that, are you still going to remain obstinate on your disbelief? If further on Allah Ta'ala says that these people, when they turn away from the message of Haqq, warn them that a punishment can afflict them, just as the punishment afflicted the nations of the past, like the nations of Ad and Thamud. Allah Ta'ala mentions concerning them that when the message came to them from their respective Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, it was because of their pride and obstinacy which they refused to accept. Particularly the nation of Ad, fastakbaru fil ardi, they remained proud on the surface of the earth. Without any reason, and they said, "Man ashaddu minna quwwa?" Who is more powerful than us? Normally, reasons for pride and arrogance to come into a person is either because of power and strength, or either because of worldly riches and worldly possessions. Allah Ta'ala granted the nation of Ad immense strength and such huge stature that they were much stronger in stature and physical build than normal, which people are. Normally people are just of average of about 6 foot. But it is mentioned that the nation of Ad, Allah Ta'ala gave them such huge stature that they were double and even triple what we know the normal height of a person to be. But this caused their downfall. And instead of being grateful to Allah Ta'ala, they refused to accept the message of Haqq. Allah Ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that inform these people that this nation of Ad, who says that who is stronger than us, don't they know that that being who created them, he is much stronger than them. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they refused to accept the message of Haqq. Allah Ta'ala says that we sent and unleashed upon them a very, very bitterly cold, severe, violent wind that completely destroyed them. For it comes elsewhere, Allah Ta'ala says, for 7 nights and 8 days continuously this violent wind blew. And the huge stature of these people, that wind tossed them around like just pieces of dirt and pieces of stain particles. How Allah Ta'ala then tossed them around and they were flung and shattered onto the surface of the earth. And elsewhere also it is described that you will see that their condition was that they were like logs of wood lying dead on the ground, and they were like the barks, the trunks of the khajuri tree, the date tree. This is how the end result was, because they refused to accept the message of Haqq. Concerning the nation of Thamud, Allah Ta'ala mentions that they were shown and told about the message of Haqq. But Allah Ta'ala blessed them a lot with material wealth and made them affluent in every regard. But rather than now showing gratitude to Allah Ta'ala and accepting the message of Haqq, they also refused. They were seized with the punishment of the terrible scream from the skies which shattered their ears and hearts, and it was followed by an earthquake, and Allah Ta'ala completely destroyed them. So the message to the people of to the addresses of the Quran and Majid was, if you also now don't accept the message of Haqq, you could also be now afflicted with these types of punishments which afflicted the nations of the past. After that, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the day of Qiyamah. This was the worldly punishment for these nations and people. But on the day of Qiyamah also Allah Ta'ala says that even the bodily limbs of the people, of these people, and their skins also will testify and give evidence against them. These people will see that Allah is making our own limbs testify against us. They will even addressing their own limbs and bodies they will say, Lima shahidtum alina? What's wrong with all of you? Why are you giving testimony against us? The limbs of the body will speak. Allah will make them speak. That being who gave the power of speech, or can give the power of speech to everything, that Allah has made us speech. And it is that Allah who created you the first time, and to Allah Ta'ala will you be returning, and you have returned. So that Allah Ta'ala has made us speak. Then Allah Ta'ala says that these people, when they committed the transgression in this world, they did not hide their actions from their own limbs, never imagining and thinking that our own limbs will testify against us. But on the day of Qiyamah, they will see that Allah Ta'ala will now make their limbs testify against them. Further on, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentions the evil of these kuffar and mushrikeen, that they say, لا تسمعوا لهذا القرآن. They knew the rising influence and the great effect of the beauty of the Qur'an Majid, that the one who now listens to it carefully, he gets affected. And they did not want to bring iman, nor allow others also to bring iman. So they used to tell the people, don't listen to this Qur'an, and make a big noise when the Qur'an is being recited, so that you can be victorious. In other words, in not allowing the Qur'an Majid to be heard by others. Allah Ta'ala says, for such people, we will make them taste a very severe punishment, because their evil is now double-fold, that they themselves are not accepting the message of Haqq, nor allowing others to now listen to the message of Haqq, and therefore we will give them a very severe punishment. Further on, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala makes mention of the mu'mineen, that the mu'mineen are such that they say, رَبُّنَا اللَّهِ, our Rabb is Allah, but then they remain steadfast on that. Once they say they bring iman, then they remain steadfast in the face of all difficulties and hardships and adverse conditions. They don't waver. These are the true mu'mineen. Allah Ta'ala says concerning them that we will make the angels descend upon them when they are passing away, when they are dying. And our angels will come to them and reassure them that for you there is no fear and there is no grief and sorrow, and take the glad tidings of Jannah, which you have been promised. The angels will further tell them, we were your friends in the worldly life, that we guided you towards the Haqq and helped you, and in the year after also we will be your friends, we will welcome you, and we will serve you. And for you, whatever is, and for all of you in Jannah will be what you desire, and whatever you call for, all of this is nuzulam min ghafoorir rahim, as a hospitality from that Allah who is most forgiving, most merciful. Allah Ta'ala grant us these bounties. Further on, Allah Ta'ala then mentions concerning the one who calls towards Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, who delivers the message of deen and haqq to the people. Allah Ta'ala says, whose word can be more beautiful and better than the one who calls towards Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala and does good deeds and says that I am from the Muslimin, those who submit to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. In the context of this verse, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha mentions, it refers particularly to the muazzineen also. Those who call out the adhan, they are calling towards Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Whose work can be better than that? But in a general meaning, everyone who now does this work of calling towards people towards Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala says, their word is the best word. Further on, Allah Ta'ala says that good and evil can never be the same. And counter evil with that which is good. In other words, don't counter evil with evil. Particularly those who are calling towards Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, they will definitely encounter people who will be hostile and harsh and arrogant against their message, and they might become even physically abusive, or even verbally they will abuse them. Allah Ta'ala says, be tolerant and kind. You, although according to the Sharia, you can retaliate and a wrong wrong which is now the same, not exceeding the limits of Sharia. If somebody does wrong to you and he might hurt you in any way, you have the right to retaliate to that extent, but not more. But Allah Ta'ala says the better option, particularly when calling towards the deen of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, is that you don't counter evil with evil. You counter evil in a good way. Be forgiving, be kind, be tolerant. And the effect of it, Allah Ta'ala mentions, that the one whom, that between you and the one who has enmity with you, Allah Ta'ala will make it such, كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. He will become your bosom friend, as if he will become your bosom friend. So this is the now effect of being kind, tolerant and compassionate, particularly when now delivering the message of Haqq, that those with whom you have enmity, they will also start responding positively to you, as if they are your close friends. Allah Ta'ala then mentions that this is only those who are inspired, who really have the quality of sabr, and those who are the truly fortunate ones, they are able to do this. And if you do this, really you will be a very fortunate person. Further on, Allah Ta'ala gives us guidelines that if shaitan, an instigation and temptation of shaitan comes into you, then seek the protection of Allah Ta'ala. You can't combat and confront shaitan on your own. Seek the assistance of Allah Ta'ala and seek the protection of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and inshallah you will be saved from that instigation and temptation of shaitan. Further on, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala then makes mention concerning another absurd objection of these mushrikeen. They didn't want to accept the message of Haqq and regard the Quran and Majid to be the word of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So just to make excuses, one of their excuses was that why is it that this Quran and Majid is in the Arabic language? In other words, they said that no, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you are making it up from your own side. Why is the whole Quran and Majid or portion of it not in a foreign language? Foreign to Arabic is another language. And then we can say, oh, you are an Arab and now you are presenting to us a Quran in a different language. So therefore now it is not of your side, from your side. Allah Ta'ala says, even if you have to make the whole Quran and Majid in a language, not in Arabic, but a Ajmi, a foreign language, then too these people will have objections. And what will be that? لَوْلَا فُصِّلَتْ آيَاتُ. They will say, why isn't the verses of the Quran and Majid, the message which is being directed to us, why isn't it being explained clearly? We don't understand this language, so why is the Quran and Majid now being revealed in this language? So either way, they had objections. Either now the Quran and Majid is in Arabic, they got objections, why is it only in Arabic? And if it was in another language, the same objection will come there. Allah Ta'ala says how strange their objections are, that they expect the Quran and Majid to be in a foreign language, whereas the Quran and Majid and the Nabi delivering the message is Arabi, is now Arabic, Arab. So what type of objection they are making? Allah Ta'ala says the Quran and Majid is such that for the believers it is hudan, it is a source of guidance, and it is shifa, it is a cure for all our spiritual as well as physical ailments. This is the Quran and Majid. And with regard to those who don't believe, Allah Ta'ala says they have props in their ears. In other words, they hear but they don't hear. In other words, they are not acceding and believing in the truthfulness of the Quran and Majid when it is presented to them. Further on, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala makes mention that whatever good you do is for your own benefit, and the evil you do is to your own detriment. And Allah Ta'ala is in no way ever oppressive over His bandas. Allah will never take to task and punish a person for anything which he did not commit. Nor will Allah Ta'ala not reward a person for any good he did. So the kamal of the adl and justice of Allah Ta'ala is mentioned. And then follows into the 25th para. Allah Ta'ala mentions His kamal in knowledge, that Allah Ta'ala is perfect in our regards to knowledge, and Allah's knowledge is all encompassing. Allah Ta'ala says, to Allah alone is referred the knowledge of Qiyamah. When it will occur, Allah hasn't given this knowledge to nobody, not even to a Nabi. Only Allah Ta'ala knows when Qiyamah will occur. And Allah Ta'ala further says that the knowledge of fruit which emerge from their coverings, and also the knowledge of what a female conceives and what it gives birth to, that also is only in the knowledge of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The birth, what a woman gives, the details of that child, not only regarding the gender of the child, the details of the child, whether he will be sa'id or shaqi, a fortunate, a mu'min or not a mu'min, he will grow up to be what, how long he will live, how long will the child live, how much sustenance he will get, what will be his conditions, how many children he will get, whatever it is. No scan, no medical advancement can ever tell us about this. Maximum, they can only tell us, and that also not with 100% certainty, the gender of the child with the latest technology of the scans, etc. But the details only Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala knows. Further on, Allah Ta'ala mentions the psychology of insan, that insan, his condition is that he never tires to pray for good, to make dua for good. But if adverse conditions afflict him, he becomes completely despondent and loses hope. Further, Allah Ta'ala says, and then if we make him taste of our mercy by giving him now good conditions after the adversity which afflicted him, then rather than now attributing that good which came to him to Allah Ta'ala, he says, لَيَقُولَنَّ هَذَا لِي, that this is for me, I am deserving for this because of my intellect, because of my intelligence and because of my ability and capabilities. I am worthy of now being given this. In other words, he doesn't attribute it to Allah Ta'ala. Similar to what Qarun mentioned previously in the 20th para, how Allah Ta'ala blessed him with so much wealth, but rather than turning to Allah Ta'ala in gratitude, he attributed it to himself, his intelligence, etc. So this is now the condition of man. And he goes even a step further and says that, no, I don't think so, Qiyamah is to occur. And if there is something like Qiyamah, he says that if I am returned to my Rabb, إِنَّ لِي عِنْدَهُ لَلْحُسْنَى, for me, Allah Ta'ala will only be good. In other words, he regards the material wealth which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him in this dunya as a sign of acceptance. Whereas being blessed with wealth and that is in no way a sign of acceptance by Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala decreases or increases the sustenance according to his wisdom of each individual. And in no way is that a sign of acceptance by Allah ta'ala. Further on, Allah ta'ala towards the end of the surah mentions, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. We will soon show them our signs in the horizons of the world, and we will show them our signs in their own selves, till the point where the truth is now clearly mentioned to them. Here Allah Ta'ala refers to all his great qudrat, and ulama explained that all new discoveries and inventions which are still to come, which already have occurred and which are still to come, are all included in the scope of this verse, that they verify the authenticity of the Qur'an-i Majeed and the truthfulness of the Qur'an-i Majeed and the oneness and great qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further on in the next surah, Surah Ash-Shura, Shura means to make mashwara, to mutual consultation. Allah Ta'ala further on in the Quran, in the surah, mentions many qualities of the mu'mineen, and amongst them is this one quality, that wa amruhum shura baynahum, that they decide their matters through mutual consultation. The benefit and the importance and the stress which Shariat also has laid, that you should now consult in your affairs with others, even Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who could be more understanding and intelligent than Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also was told that in matters, consult with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. For that reason, the surah is called Surah Ash-Shura. In this surah also, being a Makki surah, all the fundamentals are being mentioned, particularly the greatness of the Qur'an-i Majeed, and concerning wahi, revelation, these aspects are mentioned in more detail in the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the surah again, mentioning the greatness of the Qur'an-i Majeed, and then Allah ta'ala mentions his great signs in the, which can be seen in the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala then mentions that the Shariat, the deen which we have prescribed for you, was the same deen which we had prescribed to the previous Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. All the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, without exception, in deen they were the same. The fundamentals of deen, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, etc., all of them were the same. Although in the Shariat, the laws, subsidiary laws of each Shariat was different, but in the main, important, fundamental matters, the deen of each Nabi was the same. And and the main point there was that Allah Ta'ala has no partner, and Allah Ta'ala is the Tawheed of Allah Ta'ala was emphasized. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentioned that certain qualities of the mu'mineen, as was indicated to now, that Allah Ta'ala says that the mu'mineen have these qualities, we should try and imbibe them within ourselves, and that is the quality of tawakkul, trust in Allah Ta'ala, and abstention from all major sins and all immoral and immodest type of actions. And the third quality mentioned here, that the true mu'mineen are those, when they are angered, they pardon, they forgive. And further on, they respond to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything. They establish the salat, and their matters are decided amongst them through mutual consultation, and they spend of which Allah ta'ala grants them. Further on, another quality mentions that when transgression is now perpetrated against them, they take revenge. But Allah Ta'ala says that جَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا, that evil has to be can be counted with evil, but it must be at the same level, not exceeding, or else the oppressed will become the oppressor, and then he will then be taken to task. Allah Ta'ala also mentions that if a person, injustice has been done to him, but he forgets and makes amends, in other words, he now rectifies the condition with the person who now oppressed him, that person's reward is by Allah Ta'ala. And this is now really for those people who are resolute in their inna dhalika min azmi al-umur, that they are resolute in their attention, that they now practice on that which is on a superior level, that they don't retaliate even if they are done wrong on. They rather forgive and overlook and be kind and are kind and compassionate to those who now did injustice to them. Allah Ta'ala in between also mentions that tell them, O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you are not responding and accepting the message of Haq. Don't think so I am asking you for any remuneration and any monetary compensation. I don't ask you for anything. My reward is only by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The only thing I am asking you, إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْمَى, that you take into account our family ties and kinship which we have amongst ourselves, and keep that in mind. And because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was from the Quraysh, and the people of Makkah were also all in some way or the other linked to the tribe of Quraysh. I'm only asking you to take the love which normally is between people of the same kingship. I'm only asking you for that. In other words, don't harass and now oppress me. Because I am from you, I'm from the same fraternity and from the same tribe we are. Only that I'm asking you, take that into consideration. And because I don't ask you for any monetary compensation whatsoever for the message which I am delivering to you. Further on, Allah Ta'ala then makes mention that sustenance is in the hands of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. It mustn't be that your wealth causes you to become arrogant and think that you are acceptable in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says that if we have to now expand sustenance amongst the people, then they will start rebelling on the earth. Here Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala makes mention of His great wisdom in not keeping economic equality amongst all the people, and He didn't make them all the same when it comes to now their economic standing. Allah Ta'ala gives some more, some less, and the main purpose of this is to keep the civilization, and also to keep the world functioning and remaining sustained in its present condition by keeping keeping differences in economic status, and that will now keep people dependent upon one another. The moment everybody is given a lot of excess, a lot of wealth and excess wealth, then each one will become now regard to be himself to be completely independent of others, and also that he cannot be remain subdued in front of anybody else. This will give rise to greed, which will now then cause fights, disputes, and also rebellion to occur on the earth. And the smooth functioning of the universe of interdependence, that people remain dependent on one another, that will cease, and the whole functioning of the whole universe will then not function as it's supposed to function. So there is great wisdom in now this. From this we can understand that those who advocate the policy or the ideology of economic equality as the communists do, this is not possible, nor is it desirable, and nor is it practical. The people know, those who advocate that communism, that is not possible. That everybody must be the same in economic standing. It is something which is now completely against the wisdom of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. Also, nor is it practical or possible. Allah Taala then reminds us that whatever difficulties and hardships which you encounter is actually the effect of your deeds. But Allah Ta'ala says, وَيَعْفُوا عَنْ كَثِيرٍ, that most of your misdeeds will overlook it and we forgive it. And if we have to take you to task, as mentioned elsewhere, for every evil of yours, there wouldn't remain a single living creature on the surface of the earth. Everything and everyone would have been destroyed. Allah Ta'ala says, we only take you to task and make you taste a little bit of your misdeeds, but most of it we overlook. And when we punish, nobody can escape our punishment on the earth. And nobody can escape the punishment which we now send down. Further on, Allah Ta'ala then mentions in the next surah, Surah Zukhruf. Zukhruf means gold. Allah Ta'ala makes mention of gold and silver later on in the surah, wherein Allah Ta'ala makes mention that if it was not for that, all people would have become one nation. In other words, in kufr. Then we would have provided for those who now disbelieve. We would have opened the doors of the material wealth to them, and the roofs of their houses, and the stairways in their houses, and the doors, and even the couches which now they recline on, will all be made of silver and wazukrufa. And forget silver, even we could have made it of gold. In other words, that hold no weight and importance in our eyes. We would have opened the doors of material wealth for all people. But the fear is that people will now leave Iman and then go into kufr because of the material wealth which we give them. So Allah Ta'ala says that because of that fear, that's why we don't provide for each one everything in gold and silver. Or else, what is this? It is just mata'ul hayati dunya. It is just the commodities of the worldly life. And the year after is the actual objective according to Allah Ta'ala. And that people only who have taqwa and those who understand their maqsad and purpose of life, they only pursue that. So it comes in the hadith also that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said that if by Allah Ta'ala there was even the worth of the dunya was even to the extent of the wing of a mosquito, then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala would not have given the kuffar even a drop of water to drink. But no, these things are not what actually mean to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The point is that we have to accept the oneness of Allah Ta'ala and correct our beliefs. In the surah, many other things are also mentioned. The greatness of the Quran and Majid is also mentioned. Allah Ta'ala's many creations. And one of the very absurd and foolish and we will say illogical thoughts and beliefs of the kuffar, of the mushrikeen particularly, is being mentioned here. That they ascribe daughters to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That the angels are the daughters of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says, what audacity you are doing there. That same daughters which you dislike to be born in your own house, and which you put your head down in shame when you are told a daughter is born in your house, and yet you are ascribing that same thing to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Whereas daughters being born is not a reason to be feel ashamed, as was the case in the time of Jahiliyyah. But as it comes in the hadith, those who are given blessed with daughters and look after them, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has promised them great rewards and Jannah by looking after the daughters. From 3 to 2 to 1, also Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam even mentioned this, that there is great barakat and there is now great blessing for those people in whose homes daughters are born. That surahs and towards the end, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala makes mention that those who now turn away from the dhikr of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, those who now turn away from the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala says, we set upon them a shaitan which will be his companion, which will now keep him away from seeing the path of haqq and the straight path. And they will think that they are rightly guided, but they are falling into deviation. So the importance of the remembrance of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala can be gauged from here. The more we remember Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, the further shaitan will go away from us. And or else, then shaitan will be our companion. And with the result, that shaitan will then mislead people. Further on, Allah Ta'ala then makes mention of, in the surah, then friendship should be of those who are the muttaqeen. Al-akhillau yawma'idhin ba'duhum li-ba'din adun. Friends on that day of Qiyamah will be enemies to one another, besides the muttaqeen.
The muttaqeen, with whom you have friendship for only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, and they are people of taqwa, that friendship will now avail a person and benefit a person on the day of Qiyamah, not other types of friendship. There instead, it will become enemies of one another, and certain scenes of the day of Qiyamah are then explained in the surah. From there, inshallah, we will continue tomorrow.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله لا يسبقها عمل ولا تترك ذنبا. حضرت أم هانية رضي الله تعالى عنها فرماتي ہے کہ نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے ارشاد فرمایا کہ لا إله إلا الله سے نہ تو کوئی عمل بر سکتا ہے اور نہ یہ کلمہ کسی گناہ کو چھوڑ سکتا ہے. نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم has said, no deed can excel the recitation of La ilaha illallah, and this kalima lets no sin remain unforgiven.